Well, thank you very much for inviting us to come up. I was really excited when I got invited. I'd actually stuff on, but I phoned up the people and said, is there any chance of changing our dates? Because I wanted to come here, because I love it, coming up and seeing it, and it's lovely to come up and see old faces. and so thank you for the invitation, and I'll be honest, I come up in fear and trembling, but I must admit I've really enjoyed myself. It's been great to mix and mingle with yourselves again, and to see your lovely, beautiful church, and to see what God has been doing for you. And we will continue to pray for you, so that you will just know the blessing and the glory of God and what you do here for the Lord's glory. Well, I would like to share with you how I became a Christian. I know some of you already know my testimony. I don't mind if you fall asleep. Feel free. I do mind if you snore. But you're more than welcome to doze off. But I would like to share with you how God changed my life. And there's a verse, you don't need to look it up. You'll probably know it and quote it off by heart. And it's in John 3, verse 16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'd like to share how I eventually heard that verse. I originally come from a place called Motherwell, and I was born and brought up in Motherwell. It was a big house and estate called Muir House, and I was brought up there in Muir House. And unfortunately, when I was only five, my mum and dad get divorced, and my mum had to bring up four children. John was about three. Two, and I was five. Drew was about seven or eight, and Marion was about 10. And my mum had to bring up four children, and we had a lack of cash in the house. My mum was on the social security. She used to work at the weekend in the side, if you know what that means. No, it means you're making a wee bit extra cash, and the social don't know anything about it. So I used to clean the pub toilets. The Flemington pub toilets at the weekend for cash, and that gave us our food at weekends. And my dad was away doing his own thing, whining and dining other women, and we struggled, really, really struggled. There was many times I come home from school and there was no food. You never had any food, that was it. My mum was skint, and sometimes there was no food. My mum, unfortunately, she ended up an alcoholic. And I remember many times coming home from school and chapping the door and running in and shouting, Mum, 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 just at primary school, very, very young. And there was no answer, and I knew where to go. And I'd go up into my mum's bedroom, and she'd be lying in her bed just drunk. She'd be drinking Carlsberg specials, and they just knocked her right out. And that was my upbringing. And unfortunately, I get caught up with some stuff in the scheme, things we got up to we shouldn't have got up to. But we didn't think there was anything the matter with it. We used to get up to things that we shouldn't be doing. And so that was my upbringing. And then, we and same as well with church, we never ever went to church or Sunday school. We knew nothing about church or Sunday school. And you know something? The only time a minister came to our door is there was one of the churches, I'll not tell you what denomination it was, it had a peaked roof like this, and up at the top of the peaked roof there was one of the wind chimes that tells you what way the wind's blowing. And as kids we used to run up the roof of the church and give it a good smack and see who could turn it the most. And then unfortunately my wee brother got caught with the minister. And the minister comes to our house and chaps the door. My mum comes to the door and says, you keep your son out of my church grounds. I don't want to see your son ever again in my church grounds. And if only he knew the pain and the agony and the broken hearts in that home, and all he was interested in was his wee wind chime at the top of his roof. So sad. Anyway, that was my upbringing. And what happened is my big brother, he studied to be a chef, and he went up to Oban to work as a chef up in Oban. He started off in the Roundtree Hotel, And then he went into the gallery restaurant. And it's when he was in the gallery restaurant, my brother's friends were going up for a holiday. And we never got holidays because, same again, we couldn't afford holidays. And they invited my brother's friends were going up, and they invited me to go up. And I was only 13 at the time. And it was a summer holiday, so I went away up with my brother's friends to Oban. And I remember in the car, and we're coming down the Balkan Ree, the hill that leads into Oban. And I looked round about me, and I could see the hills. I could see the sea. I could see bed and breakfast houses. I could see bungalows. And I remember saying to my brother's friends, "Where's all the council houses?" Because I was used to blocks and flats and towers. And I just fell in love with Oban. Just loved it. And anyway, we were there for a fortnight, and they went away back home, and I stayed in Oban. And I had nowhere to live, so I slept in the restaurant floor. I got a £6 sleeping bag out of Wally Lowe's, if you remember William Lowe's. Bought a sleeping bag, and I slept in the restaurant floor. It was actually a kitchen. And I got a job as Gordon the Gopher. I worked in the kitchen as a gopher. And a gopher is go for that and go for this. Whatever you're told to go for, you had to go for it. So I was Gordon the Gopher. And I washed the pot, scrubbed the plates and cleaned and done whatever I was told. And I got a pound a day. And I get my food as well. And also I got a bed. I slept in the restaurant floor every night. And it came to the end of the school holidays. And I was supposed to go back to school. I don't recommend this to young people. But I was only 13 and I had quite a lot of schooling to do. And I hated school. I didn't like school. And so I was supposed to go back. But I was 100 miles away from the school. And the school never knew where I was. And I never told them. And what I call dog school. I stayed away from school. And eventually I get into trouble. I had to go to a children's panel. If you know what a children's panel is, I had to go to a children's panel. And then my mum got took to court. And she got fined £60. But anyway, I just stayed up moping and I never come home. And what happened is the school ain't. Eventually they washed their hands of me. And I just stayed up moping, worked in the kitchen as a gopher. And then my brother sort of started to train me how to chef. And I started to learn how to work the kitchen. And then so he would take some time off and I would run the kitchen. And then when I was 15 years of age, who we were working for, Alistair Reid, his brother, the restaurant called The Box Tree, Ian Reid, and his chef was stealing boxes of scampi, sirloin steaks and selling them. And they get caught. Be sure your sons will find you out. Well, his were found out and they get sacked. And here they're looking for a chef. And I was only 15 years of age, and they offered me the job, and I get the job as the chef. And it was absolutely brilliant, because I'm 56 now, so I'm only 15. You work that out yourself, I can't be bored long working out how long ago it was. Anyway, so you can imagine from being the dishwasher, now you're the chef, there was a rise in the wages. And though it was lovely, I was only 15. So it was tax-free. Every penny was tax-free. I never paid any tax. And I thought I'd landed because I was making all this money and it was absolutely lovely. And my boss, he didn't want his chef sleeping on the restaurant floor, so he gave me proper accommodation. I got a bed sit. And I just enjoyed my job. I enjoyed chefing. In fact, there's people come here for scalpy. I worked with Fiona McLeod. Fiona was one of the waitresses, a lovely lassie. And anyway, so I started working away in the restaurant and the Box Tree. Really loved my job. I really enjoyed it. And just working away, getting on with what I had to get on with. And then a change came when I was 18. What happened is the restaurant all organised. And so on a way around, I have a cup of coffee with the waitresses at night time before the restaurant opened up for meals at night. And I was just sitting and one of them brought in a catalogue book. And I was just looking through this catalogue book and I came across something that I'd never owned before in my life. And it was a grey suit and it was only £59.95 or £1.25 a week. So I was making good money, so I thought, I'm going to treat myself because I'd never owned a suit before in my life. I was used to hand-me-downs. Do you know what hand-me-downs are? Oh, aren't we a bit proud? Kidding on me, don't. Hand-me-downs is when you get your big brother's or your big sister's clothes. Well, I was used to hand-me-downs. I didn't mind getting my big brother's clothes, but when my mum put me out with my big sister's on, that caused me trouble. But anyway, I was used to hand-me-downs. And I thought, I'm going to treat myself. And I bought a suit, and I was all dressed up, and I had nowhere to go. And we're sitting thinking, myself and the waitresses, where could I wear this suit? And this is what happened. We thought, right, you can't go to disco, you'd overdress. You can't go to a nightclub, you'd overdress. Where could we wear it? And one of the waitresses, Big Christine, she says, Gordon, folk wear suits to church. Why don't you go to church? I said, brilliant. I didn't care where I was going. I just wanted to wear my suit. And that's why I started going to church. Because I'd landed because I owned a suit. And I started going to church. Knew nothing about God. Knew nothing about the Bible. Was green as the grass. And I went to a church. And I'm not being rude, but I heard about everything except Jesus. And I believe the man wasn't converted. I heard how to keep open tidy. I heard about all these things. And I remember leaving the church and I'm thinking, surely there must be more to church than keep open tidy. And I never knew anything. And then I went to a wee Baptist church in Oban. And the man in there loved the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is the Reverend Tommy Urquhart. And Tommy preached Jesus. And people say, oh, we need to dilute the gospel. We need to make it people friendly. We need to... No, just stick to the book. I knew nothing. And he preached. He preached heaven and hell. He preached repentance. He preached the blood. He preached the cross. And I knew nothing. But I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit came and convicted me of my sins. And I used to sit there, and I'm not joking. I would sit there and I think, who does he know that I know? Somebody is telling the minister everything that I've been up to. And then he's standing up there in front of everybody, telling everybody. And I thought that's what was going on. I thought, who is it? Somebody's telling him. And I thought the minister knew what I was up to. And when I used to leave the church, I wouldn't look him straight in the eye. I'd shake his hand and I'd look at his feet. And I'd say, thank you very much. I always knew the colour of his shoes. I couldn't look at no eye contact because I thought, he knows what I'm up to. And praise God, it was the Holy Spirit. And Tommy used to say, do you want to get right with God? Speak to him after the service. You want to get right with God? Come forward. And I'd have loved to have gone forward. I'd have loved to have got right with God. But I was frightened. What would my family think if I become a Christian? What would my friends think if I become a Christian? And I had all these fears going through me thinking, I can't become a Christian. What will people think? But praise God, the Lord kept on coming and speaking into my life and challenging me. And I remember one night I was with Fiona. We called her Big F, Fiona McLeod. And we were at a group come over from Northern Ireland called 5 Plus 1. And it was in the Corn Halls. And they were singing the gospel. And they made an appeal. And Fiona says to me, are you going forward, Gordon? I says, no, not tonight, Fiona. And I remember that night saying in my heart, but I'm going to go forward. I'm going to become a Christian. And it wasn't long after that, one Sunday morning, I says to the minister, can I come and talk to you? And on the way up, and it was a Tuesday afternoon after lunches, and then I went into the minister's house, into the man's, they took me into study, and I didn't know how to pray or anything, right? I knew nothing about the Bible. And I says to Tom, I says, Tom, hey, I started coming to your church. I says, I bought a suit, and I know where to go, and one of the what lassies says, go to church, folk wear suits to church. I says, and I ended up in your church. I says, and then I realise I'm not a Christian. I says, but I want to become a Christian. And I was only 18 at the time. And it's absolutely brilliant. When that song there we just sang there was lovely. And I just says, I would like to become a Christian. And he took me through the Bible and showed me, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. For God so loved you, Gordon, that if you believe in him, you won't perish. And he prayed a prayer. Then he says, amen. Then he says, Gordon, I'm going to pray another prayer. If you mean it, you pray, you copy me. And he prayed a few words, then I copied him. He prayed a few words and I copied him. And I just simply came with fears, with doubts, and I just asked God to come into my life. And praise God, God did come into my life. And what happened is I started to get involved in the church. I became eventually a deacon in the church. I became a Sunday school teacher and I helped with the youth. And everybody thought everything was going well. It was a bit like the young girl last night. She's in here somewhere, I think. Over there somewhere. She's in here somewhere anyway. The lass that testified last night. Everybody thought everything was going well. And we never had a lot of young people in our church. And you say, oh, it's good to have a young man in the church. But see, during the week, I was living a way that wasn't right. I was still going to the discos. I was still going to the nightclubs. And I was enjoying the fruit of the nightclubs. I was enjoying the lifestyle of the pubs. I wasn't a drinker, but I took a wee bit. But I was enjoying all that lifestyle. And I was a very unhappy Christian because I was pretending that I was doing all right. And then 4 years of my Christian life, I was absolutely fed up. Fed up of living a lie. And a Sunday I was playing the part. During the week, I was living a life that was a disgrace. And I remember I used to buy the Sunday school kids Twixies. And I'd buy them all Twixies. And if they behaved, they got their Twixies. And they used to always behave about 10 minutes before the end of the lesson. And I would give them all their Twixies. And I had 13 Twixies that Sunday. And I remember this Sunday, they were really misbehaving. I says, I'm telling you, if you don't stop misbehaving, you're not getting the Twixies. And they just kept on misbehaving. And I thought, I can't give them them. Because if I give them them, then the next week they'll not believe what I'm saying. So I never gave the kids the Twixies. And I'm walking home. Then I lived up Star Bray, Battery Terrace. And you walk up by Star Bray, the Free Church in Oban. I don't know if you know the Free Church. You walk up by the Free Church. There's another hill to go up to Battery Terrace. And I'm walking home with all these Twixies. And I'm saying to myself, I know where all the Twixies are going. Because I'm a chocoholic. I thought, I'll tan every one of them. I knew I'd eat them all. And I thought, oh, if only the kids behaved, because I wanted to give them to the children, but I couldn't because of the behaviour. And I could take you to the spot this happened. And I believe God spoke to me. And says, Gordon, I want to give you things. I want to do things in your life. But because of your behaviour, I can't. And I could take you to roughly where that happened, where I'm saying all these Twixies, I'll eat them all. I'd have loved to give them to the kids. But because of their behaviour, I couldn't. And God says, I've got things in store for you, but I can't give you it because of your behaviour. And if you're here before again, Father, and you know what I'm talking about, whatever it is, let it go. Whatever it is, deal with it. Because I came to a place where I surrendered every area, my nightlife, my sports life, my financial life, every area of my life to God. I says, God, take full control. I was aiming to buy my own restaurant eventually. I worked hard, saved up every penny. The only time I withdrew money out of my bank is when my mum got into financial difficulties and I had to pay off her debt twice. I says, no more, mum, there won't be a third time. Because she ran up debt and had to clear it, then ran up debt and had to clear it. She says, no again, mum, that's enough. And I saved up every penny because I wanted to buy my own restaurant because I knew what it was like to have nothing when I was a wee boy. Then God just started to work my life and I lost the desire for chefing. And I could hardly read, I could hardly write, I could hardly hold a conversation. And yet I felt in my heart God saying, I want you to go and talk to people about Jesus. I want you to go and to study and to tell folk about me. I thought, how can I go? I can hardly hold a conversation. I can't read, I can't write. And God just kept on coming and speaking to me. And he started to remove the love for chefing. That I just wanted to give up chefing and do something. Now, by this time, I had a five-bedroom flat in Battery Terrace. And I'd let four bedrooms, and I was doing all right financially. Things were going brilliant in my life, financially and all that. And I had a good sports life. I used to be a marathon runner, believe it or not. I looked like a beach ball with arms. But I used to actually be a runner. And I had a good sports life. Everything was going brilliant. But then God started to speak. God started to say, I want you to go. And I was so frightened because I struggled. I had a lot of fears. I had a lot of struggles in who I was. I felt like nothing. Sometimes I felt like just a piece of dirt in somebody's shoe. Inferiority, I had a degree in it. Just felt terrible because of everything in my life and could hardly communicate and all that stuff. But God's saying, I want you to go. And I used to pray, I says, God, excuse me, sir. I used to say, God, if you want me to go, you really need to let me know it's of you. Because I thought I was losing the head. I didn't want to chef. I was hungry to make money and I'd lost my love for all that. And I just wanted to go and talk to people about Jesus, but I was frightened. And I remember saying, God, please, if this is of you, you need to let me know it's of you. And I used to have a wee Good News, New Testament and Psalms. And I started reading it at my normal place. And it was in John, when John, Jesus had fed the 5,000. And I think it's John 6, verse 27. And the Good News, it says, now I'm in a kitchen probably about from where you are to that wall. That was the size of the kitchen. Big dry room over here, freezers over here. All the fryers were down here. Lovely, beautiful big kitchen in the gallery. And I'm in this big kitchen, right? I'm saying, God, if this is of you, you need to let me know. And I do my normal Bible reading. And you know what it says? Do not work for food that goes bad. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life. And only Jesus Christ can give you this. And I just shut it. And I says, right. And I'm on my way up to Tommy Urquhart. I says, get my appointment with the Faith Mission. I believe it's of God. And I went for my appointment for the Faith Mission. And I sat down. It was a nervous wreck with Dr. Peckham. If you knew Dr. Peckham. And he says, you would like a cup of tea? And I said, no, I just want to go on with this. And they'd wee china cup sitting on their cup of tea. And I'm sitting there like this. Hurry up, I want to tell you what's happening in my life. And Dr. Peckham says, so, brother, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I just gave him everything I want. And as soon as I'd finished, I says, well, what do you think? Well, am I coming? Oh, calm down, we don't work that way. Calm down. And praise God, the door opened up. And I says to them, I can't read and I can't write, but I really believe it's of God. And they thought I was joking until I got there. And I went to Faith Mission Bible College. I was actually with Rachel McKinnon. And what happened is, I was rubbish. I get 8% and 6% in my exams. And that was for turning up and spelling my name right. And one day, Dr. Peckham called me into his office. I had to do an essay in Samuel Rutherford. And I was out painting outside. When I was in the Faith Mission, it was a bit stricter. The boys weren't allowed in the girls' quarters. And I used to call the girls' quarters the promised land. And I used to say, we're not allowed in the promised land. And I was outside painting outside the promised land, their doors and all that. And Dr. Peckham's office was here. And he says, brother, when you get a minute, will you come in and see me? I thought, oh, he's marked my essay. So he goes away in. And he says to me, brother, sit down. And then he goes, what is this? I says, it's my essay. He says, what is this? I says, my essay. He says, this is plagiarism. Do you know what plagiarism is? Sometimes folk don't know what it is, and it's lovely when you know that. Plagiarism is when you take somebody else's work, and you say it was you done it. Well, I hadn't a clue what plagiarism was, and I says, sorry, what's plagiarism? He says, you've taken someone else's work, and you says it's yours. I says, I didn't know you weren't allowed to do that. I says, the boys are reading books and then just putting into their own English. I says, I can't spell, so they're no point putting it into my words. I thought I'll just copy it straight out of the book. I've still got that, I said. It says in the back, what did they say in the back? It was, I want your work, not Scott Swarthy's, the guy who wrote Scott Swarthy's. Gave me the page number and everything, where it came from. I says, well, I'm sorry. I says, I had a clue. And then they knew where I was coming from, because I couldn't read and I couldn't write. And when I was at Faith Mission, I had to get to Edinburgh to go to Abyssa classes to learn how to read and write and miss some lessons. And that's where I started. And I want to say, God takes the weak things of the world. And I was at Faith Mission Bible College. I'll not be long to finish. When I left Oban, remember I went to Oban with nothing. With two bags of second-hand clothes and a £6 sleeping bag out of Willie Lowe's. But when I left Oban 10 years later, I left with £30,000 cash in the bank. Now I'm 56 and I was 24, so what's that? How many years ago was that? 32. What? 32 years ago. So £30,000 is a lot of cash now, but then it was even a lot more. And I left with £30,000, I left with my Bible, I left with a bag of clothes to go to Faith Mission. And I enjoyed it, though I struggled like mad. I used to get into the toilet at the Faith Mission Bible College next to the dining room and shut the door. And I would cry my eyes out. And I used to pray, Lord, what have I done? I'm going to make a fool of you. I'm going to make a fool of my church. I'm going to make a fool of myself. I can't cope with this. What have I done? And my mum used to play a record. And it was Lena Martell. And it was One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And I used to be fed up of hearing that record. And God came and says, One Day at a Time, Gordon. The same call of God in their life is the same as the call of God in your life. And I used to go and sneak into a wee room and spend some extra time in prayer. And one of the times I was in that room and I was just crying out to God and saying, God, please, I want you to use me. Because I knew, education-wise, I was so limited. I said, please take my life. Use me. And then I used to say, but if I fail at the Faith Mission, I've always got my cash and I can go back to Oban and I can start something. But if I fail, I've always got my cash and I can back to Oban. Until one night I was praying and I was saying, God, I just want you to take my life and do something with it and use it. And I believe this doesn't happen to everybody, so there's no panic. I believe God says, give away your money. Now, if I gave away my money, I had nothing. Education, I was limited, but this wee security, the £30,000. And I says, Lord, I really want you to use me, and if this is what you're saying, I will. And I believe God came and spoke to me, and I gave it away. Actually, John MacDonald, he had a gospel van that came up round the Highlands. That was a cheque, they didn't know it was me. Actually, at that meeting, I'll give you a laugh. I was at the meeting in Edinburgh. It was the Edinburgh Convention. And one of the cheques was for £13,000 for the gospel van to come up round the Highlands. And I was lifting an offering, and I slipped in a cheque from the Halifax. It never had my name on it. And went in to count the offering. And we tips it all open. My friend Owen Greenard, he opens up this cheque and says, whoa, £1,300. No, £13,000 for the gospel van. And everybody's going, whoa. So I had to go, whoa. I had to be excited. And Owen Greenard says, Gordon, you didn't look surprised. Was that you? I didn't want to tell my lie. So I just says, Owen, £30,000. £13,000. He says, aye, right enough. So he made up his own mind. But do you know what they said? We were counting the money. There was a millionaire in that meeting. And he says, it probably was a millionaire. It probably was a millionaire that put in the 13,000. Little did he know it was a wee dyslexic boy that couldn't read and write. Gave away 13,000 to them, 5,000 to Stouris, and then other money, and I just gave it all away. Well, 90% it went away, and it was the best thing I've ever done, because I really believed that God knew that I was serious. I wanted God to really use me, and I just started applying myself to studies, and praise the Lord, the exams started to improve a wee bit, and all that. And when it came to graduation, I graduated with 50.1%. Still a graduation. If you get 99, I get 50.1, I still graduated. And I did. I graduated from the Faith Mission. And I loved it. I was involved 2.5 years in our work. And then I felt God speaking to me about going to Baptist Bible College. I went to Baptist Bible College for 4 years. And they sent me for a psychological test. What a compliment, eh? And I went for a psychological test, and they found out I was dyslexic, and I passed that test with flying colours. You know, that was the only test I passed for 100%. And they realised that I had difficulties, so they let me away with Greek. I didn't need to study Greek, but I had to do all the other exams. But rather than sitting in and doing an exam, I had to do it in an essay way. And I can honestly say God was with us, and God helped us. And we went to Drumchapel Baptist Church, and it was just amazing how my weaknesses, my fears, my struggles, that when I was a wee boy, that I remember many nights crying myself to sleep as a wee boy, saying, how come all my pals have got a mum and dad, and I've only got a mum? How come all my pals, when I stay with them, they've got loads of food in the morning, and when we got up in the morning, there's nothing. And there's many times my pillow was wet, crying my eyes out. But I want to tell you something. See the fears and the difficulties. When we went to Drumchapel, God used them. I was able to get along beside people and talk to them. And they used to say, that this lassie, Cathy Cohen, you'll read about it if you take a wee testimony book. Cathy was a real tough nut. Cathy was a skinny woman, a real skelf, but she's a real tough, you wouldn't mess with Cathy. And anyway, Cathy was the type of woman, she's walking around the corner, I'll be finished in 5 minutes, she's walking around the corner, and there was a double-decker bus outside where the Baptist Church was. It was the number 9 terminus, and this guy came with a knife, and he slashed the bus driver down there, and he says to him, next will be your face, give us your cash. And Kath comes round the corner. She says, how you beat it, or you'll have to deal with me. And the guy with the knife says, sorry, Kath, and left. And that's what Kath was like. Well, I remember going over to see Kath, and she wanted nothing to do with the church. They're all, I'll not tell you what they all were. And she wouldn't even go near the fence round the church. And we started going in and witnessing to her. And I'll never forget what she says to me. She says, what are you doing in my house? And I says, what do you mean? She says, what are you doing in my house? She says, ministers don't talk to the likes of us. Ministers don't talk to the likes of us. And I says, Cathy, do you think I was brought up with a silver spoon in my mouth? She says, yes, you're a minister. I says, Cathy, if I had a silver spoon when I was young, I never owned it, I stole it. And I just shared my life with her. And she got married in our living room. She wanted to get married. They had no cash. They got married in our living room. I married them. Done the photography. My wife done the cakes and all that. The food. A good friend. And God worked in her life. A guy, Eddie, you'll read about in the wee testimony book. Eddie was known, I can tell you, he was supposed to have killed, I heard it was 6 or 8 people. He threw them. See the high flats? And know how high flats you get, 17 storey high? The big blocks? He threw them out the window. He was a drug dealer. And he was a real evil man. And there was people who he had to deal with. And he threw them out the flats. And that was classed as suicide. But it was Eddie. And Eddie would have a blade, and if you seizing against him, he'd go like that, get you tote in your mouth, and he'd go like that, and put it in your mouth and slice you all down there. And he says, if you want to talk about me, I'll give you a big mouth. That's the type of fellow he was. And I believe God, I'll finish with tell you this story, I believe God was telling us to witness to him. And I remember going up to see him, and when he lived in the flats, 13 stories up, he didn't know that I knew what he used to do. And he said he used to smoke, and his house was covered in smoke. And he says, Gordon, do you want me to open up the windows and let the smoke out? I says, no, you're fine, Eddie. I don't mind, just keep the windows shut. He didn't know what I knew. And Eddie's brother, Cliff, says to me, Gordon, don't get near him. He says, don't think because you're the Baptist minister, he'll no hurt you. He says, he'll get you battered, he'll get you stabbed, or he'll get you murdered. But I really believed it was of God. I started witnessing to him, talking to him. Cut a long story short, he ended up in Ballinney prison. And he phoned his sister and said, see that man that wants a coffee with me, because the police listen in to your calls. They didn't want to see the Baptist minister. He says, tell him to come in and talk to me. So he sent me out a pass to go and see him. Now, to tell you, Eddie, he had sliced himself across here because he wanted to get rid of all the demons that he thought was in him. He sliced himself open, and he was still the same. He took all sewn up. He paid money to get into a private hospital to get all his blood out of him and to get new blood put in him. Because he says, if I get my blood out of me and somebody else's blood in me, I won't be evil. You know what happened in Ballinney prison? As you get in as a minister, you get a wee room to yourself. In Ballinney prison, he was a big, big fella. In Ballinney prison, Eddie and I got down on our knees, and Eddie cried out to God for God to save him. And he became a Christian. And his life was changed. And when he came out of prison, there's a few millionaires he knows who have made money through dirty money. And he used to go and shut their door. And he says, God knows what you're doing. And God knows how you get your money, and he knows what way you're living. And you need to repent and trust in Jesus, or you're in trouble. And he used to go around and witnessing to the guys who had all the big cash and tidying up their life a bit. And he used to say to me, Gordon, I want to get baptised. He says, because I think they're going to put a hit out of me. He says, I think the four of them are going to put money together. He says, because I know too much. He says, and I think they're going to get me killed. So I took him out for lunch one day, and I finished telling you this. Took him out for lunch one day, and we're sitting having lunch. And he says to me, Gordon, he says, I must get baptised. He says, I want to be baptised before they kill me. He says, they're just going to shoot me. And I'm sitting up in my lunch room. And I says, Eddie, do you think they'll come for you during the day? He says, I don't know. I was there. I'm maybe like witnessing, but you've got to be sensible. And it was just amazing how God saved his life and the difference. And even people talk about him today because something did happen to him. They did pass away, but it was nothing to do with somebody killing them. And I want to tell you, there's other stories I could tell you, but I tell you that because I am absolutely nothing. Nothing. My reading ability is a 12-year-old. I still stutter. I still make mistakes, but hallelujah, I know where I get my strength from. And I want to say to you, if you're here and you're struggling, and you've got fears, I want to tell you, come and surrender your life to God. Because little is much when God is in it. And I could still be living a wee frightened, timorous, wee beastie if I lived that way. But I don't want to live there. I want to keep looking at him. And I know I'm dyslexic, I know I make mistakes, but hallelujah, he takes the weak things of the world, and praise God, he wants to take you and do something with your life. And if you're here as we finish and you're not a Christian, all I can say, you are robbing yourself. There's nothing more beautiful in knowing that you're a child of God, that you're saved and you're in the family of God. And if you're here and you're a Christian, and you're living in fear. That's the devil's wage packet. God wants to set you free. And God wants you to just open up your mouth and he will fill it. And he'll tell you what to say. And great, it's great when you just come and say, God, I am nothing, but I know that you are everything. And take this nothing and do something with it. Amen. I'll not answer that. I want to tell you something. I will tell you very quickly because you'll be wanting your bed. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was going from Glasgow to, it was either Fort William or Inverness for a meeting. And I was going up, Loch Lomond, up by Loch Lomond. And then, you come to the Green Welly, and then you can turn left to go to Oban or turn right to go up Fort William. So up that road, and that place where there's the statue? It's called Commando or something like that. It's up there anyway. So I stopped there to get a bacon roll out of the burger van. And had a bacon roll, or maybe two, and a cup of tea. And the amount of traffic, minibuses, buses, the amount of tourists that stopped there and the length of time that I was there was absolutely amazing. And I thought, my, imagine coming here for a few days and just staying here and your congregation would be thousands, and I'm not joking. And I thought, imagine coming and with literature and just giving out literature to all these people from all over the world. So I started praying that God would provide a van for us. And I told my wife, and she says, the only way you'll get a van is if it comes through that letterbox. Because we couldn't afford one. And so I started praying about 6-7 years ago. And maybe 2 years ago. I woke up on a Saturday morning, opens up the blind. We got up a wee bit later on a Saturday morning. And what's outside my window is a mobile home. So I'm shouting, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord shall provide. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Get up, girls. God's given us a mobile home. Look out the window. They weren't chuffed. I've got 3 women. And so because I was waking them up. So I gets dressed, goes downstairs, looks in the wee room, the porch. Where's the keys? Where's the keys? Couldn't find the keys. So goes away out and sees this van. And the windows are all closed and the blinds are down. I thought, I think somebody's in there. Now I'm looking, is somebody videoed me to see my reaction? Nobody there. And goes away back in to see if the keys were there. No keys. And so I sits in the living room. My wife gets up and comes down and says, what are you doing sitting in here? She says, I'm waiting to see what happens to that van, if it moves. So it did start to move. And so I goes out. I took my wee testimony book with me and I runs after it. And it reversed down the road. Cut a long story short, there's a guy who rented his house out. He lived down the road, but he rented it out. And he was there for an overnight and he's parked outside our door. So I'm laughing. I give him my literature. And actually, I was told he was actually a guy who was free church, but he's backslidden. And so anyway, I got a good chance to witness anyway. So gave him that. So I'm laughing, right? And my kids thought I was a nutter. So that was fine. So I kept on praying. Remember, this is 6-7 years ago. This happened a few years ago. Just before Christmas, a few months before Christmas, I got a text from this man about a mobile home. And I thought he was winding me up. So I text him back, being funny. And he texts me back saying, Gordon, I'm not joking, I'm serious. And this man, to save you time, this man says to me, I can't witness the way you witness. He's a shy man, and there's many parts of ministry. But this man, God had blessed him financially. He'd made investments, and they must have come in. He says, I want to give you money to buy a van. And I thought he was winding me up. And so, cut a long story short, he bought a van for us, a wee mobile home, a Volkswagen mobile home, so I can use it. And I'll tell you what happened. So we went away down to Birmingham to get it. We flew down and then we had to drive 320 miles back. And I'm no good at driving. I ended up falling asleep. And God was in it because I stayed awake for the 320 miles. We only stopped twice for a coffee. And what happened is we went to get the van. I had to get insurance, which was £305, road tax, which was £275, £98 for diesel to fill it. And my wife says to me, oh, she's very practical, I hope you've not bitten off more than you can chew, because it's not Faith Mission bills, it's my bills. It's nothing to do with Faith Mission. I says, what do you mean? She says, how are we going to afford to run this? I says, if God has given us a van, Janice, he'll provide everything else. And she was a wee bit panicky. So anyway, we drives home, get into the house, and I'm not joking. The van engine wasn't even cold, right? And I got a phone call. And this couple we know says, did you get your van? Yes. Says, how much was your insurance? £305. What was your road tax? £275. Give me your bank details. We've got to sponsor it for a year. My wife's like, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I didn't think it would happen as fast as that. Right? And then, I need to tell you this, because this is what happened, and to God be the glory. We wanted to get a tent for the side of it, like a big awning for the side of it, so that say we come up sometime and you'd have this big awning and say it's a windy weather, you open up the side of it, we'll have table and chairs and say, you want to come in and get a wee cup of tea? Come in, it's all free charge and a bit of home baking. And so we're hoping to do that, maybe go to different places. And so you've got a big awning, it means folk can come in and sit. So I went to see these awnings and they were £800. I had £200 at my bank at the time. So I thought, says the guy in the Go Outdoors, whose every second word was a sweary word. And I says, I can't get it now, but if that's for me, that'll be there when I come back. So anyway, I gave him a wee testimony book. I says, that's my life story. Can I have a wee read at it? I was walking up the street in Mogai, where John McLeod is a minister, and a woman stopped me and says, I heard you get your gospel van. I says, yes. I says, it's lovely. God's really provided. It's a beautiful van. She says, I'm going to give you £500, and you buy what else you need for it. So I says, you're a beauty. So on the way down to Go Outdoors, this thing was half price, and they gave us it, and they put some other stuff in, everything we needed for it. And the man who remembers telling me, Davey's name is, pray for him, every second word was a sweary word. He says, he read the testimony, he says, I didn't know you were a minister. He says, I used to be interested in religion. He says, I was a Jehovah Witness. I says, oh, how long ago? And it was years ago, because it takes him a long while to be detoxed from Jehovah Witness behaviour. And he says, but I'm interested, never swore once. And I gave him a card, my phone number. He says, give me a phone, Dave, and you and I will meet up for a coffee. And so we've got this van, and it's a dream I've got of maybe going to holiday places and just parking up. I love just chatting to people about Jesus and just to have it. And have loads of literature and just talk to them about the Lord. Or say you go and you take photographs of somewhere in Scotland, and then we'll get them printed up, maybe a couple of thousand, and them turned into postcards with the gospel in the back. And if you're a tourist, and I show you somewhere in Harris, and say, here, we like this, it's a photograph of Harris. Oh, yes, I'd love that. And then they'll have the gospel in the back. And so God's provided, and it's amazing. One of my friends says to me, it's amazing that all the years ago you gave Faith Mission £13,000 to buy a gospel van to go around the Highlands of Scotland with John McDonald in it. John McDonald doing it, and now God's provided a beautiful 2017 Volkswagen van with a lovely kitchen, and I'm 56 and I need a wee portable in it as well. I've got the old man's problem early. And it's got a wee, we've got a wee portable in it as well. You can work out what the portable is. But anyway, God is good.